Let the Lord have his way in your heart every day. There's no peace, there's no rest till the Lord has his way. Put your hand in his hand. Rest securely in his plan. Let the Lord, oh, let the Lord have his way. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, dear God, that you do not slumber and you do not sleep. We thank you, Father, that you watch over us with a very tender, compassionate eye, and that you truly know our every need of every hour, of every day, through time and eternity. Father, we thank you that the hope that you set before us in Christ brings an end to all trouble and all sorrow, that it can bring an end to all worry and anxiety over the circumstances of our lives, and that throughout eternity, it's your power that will maintain absolute peace and joy and harmony. Father, we just ask your blessing on this time together today, that you would bless your word to us, dear God, and that we would embrace it as it is, indeed, the word of truth. And we give you praise as we look to you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, I began speaking about how there is nothing that the Lord does not know. There is nothing, past, present, or future. There's no thought hidden from him, no action that takes place in the shadows or darkness. There is no scheme that he does not know about and can uncover and reveal. The Lord knows everything, everything about us and about every human. Even the Lord himself said that even the hairs of our head are numbered. Every one of us. Not just one person, or not just an estimate, but every one of us. And it is, there's so many directions I could go today. There's absolutely no shortage of topics that we could discuss today in relation to this. But one article I read a little bit this morning that, and I'd heard about it and certainly known about it, but I didn't, hadn't always put a number to it. But the whole issue of artificial intelligence. Now, see, God is absolutely, he's omniscient. He's all knowing. There is nothing that God does not know. And for us to wrap our minds around that, it's hard, it's difficult, but there is nothing about us, no thought that he does not know. It doesn't even have to be something, it can just be a thought. He knows it before we even think it. He is the Alpha and the Omega, from the beginning and the end. He knows the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. So if, of all things, God is not artificial intelligence, but true intelligence, true knowledge. There is not a problem that God cannot fix. There's not a problem that he doesn't know how to and what the situation is. There's no scientific mystery that he did not create. Again, science is gaining the knowledge of what God has already done through his word, his logic, his power, his truth. But really a very sad, I think, and I think it's more than sad. I think it's dangerous In our world today, with the ever-increasing use of artificial intelligence. Now, normally you think of artificial intelligence as a way to, you know, to find cures for cancer, to vastly increase the speed of gathering facts and solving problems and learning how to, you know, explore space and new forms of energy, these sort of scientific problems, solve these solutions. But over 50%, the article said, of the use of artificial intelligence is by individuals seeking therapy and companionship. 3. Therapy and companionship. So in that fact, we learned there's an awful lot of people who are not adjusting well to life in this world, are troubled by their lives in this world. And loneliness, this has been known for years, so much that in the United Kingdom they have a ministry of loneliness. But loneliness in living a lonely life, even, again, you can be in the presence of people, but if you feel loneliness, it is more hazardous to your health than smoking a couple packs of cigarettes a day. It's extremely stressful and diminishes a person's health. So people are turning to artificial intelligence, and they say the bulk of the answers, the information you get back, is really quite neutral and mamby-pamby, and it's just kind of feel-good stuff. It isn't answers. And so we live in a day where answers and truth are being exchanged for feeling like you have the answers or the truth when you don't. Therapy and companionship. What does God offer us? I'd say not so much therapy, but if we have things that we need to figure out and we need to talk out, we need to find answers for, that we need help with, the Lord has promised that throughout Scripture. And he has solved all the problems of those that have come to him. And companionship? What greater companionship could we ever desire than to know that the Lord is in us, that he is with us, he is by us. He again, knows our every thought. He knows our every emotion. These artificial intelligence robots and stuff, again, recently, I believe it was in Japan, that this young woman was allowed to marry a robot because it understood her so well. It understood her thoughts and feelings. And she says, I could not find a more understanding partner in life. And it will lead her nowhere. One of the greatest deficits that is artificial intelligence, one of the greatest deficits they find in the information gathered and assembled is in the realm of spiritual matters. In other words, not that it can't, but it is not built into the systems. God is not an acceptable, Scripture are not acceptable answers. And so they are not put in, they are not programmed in. Again, artificial intelligence to a great degree is really just the bringing back out of the system the logic and the information you put into the system. It connects the dots, but if you don't put all the dots in, they're not going to get connected. So see, we see a world that is turning in very rapidly to an artificial form of life. An artificial sense of belonging and feeling that means absolutely nothing in the end. I read a prayer somebody had put in and had a computer-generated prayer. And it sounds very, it just sounds so gushy and so holy and so just so exquisite, but it's not at all meaningful. You can sense the lack of soul and heart and humanity in it. God knows everything. And last week we talked about how God, we were speaking about regarding evil, regarding darkness, regarding the works of the wicked, and he knows the heart that it's wicked and deceitful and desperately wicked from Jeremiah 17. And from Matthew 12, we talked about how that man will be judged by every idle word that comes out of his mouth. And this is in the legal ground, the Old Testament ground, where even this week, I said, there's absolutely no lack of inspiration, I guess, for things to talk about today. But I was listening to a she is the first female South Korean rabbi. That's kind of splitting hairs, isn't it? And she was giving this little talk about how it's just good for people to have a Sabbath or Seder, a Sabbath day, a day where they just put away all distractions, put away all work. They gather together to share food and time and conversation. They just form community and just to talk how healthy it is to have this. And they don't even have to be Jewish. It's just it's a good practice in any culture, any group of friends, to have a day off to gather with others and relax and be human. And contemporary, the more liberal Jewish churches or synagogues and teachings have turned the Sabbath, where you could be stoned and put to death for breaking the Sabbath, into a sort of a communal kumbaya session. Mankind has warped and taken away from the power of the presence in the person of God. And as we start this new year, and I think some of the greatest things that are that trouble this nation, I'll just speak of our nation, is those who hide truth, who hide information, those who intentionally distort information and allow deceit and lies to remain hidden for the sake of something, quote unquote, better. How can we know something? I've said so many years that we can only base the decisions that we have, that we make in life, we can only base those decisions on knowledge, on things that on what we know, on knowledge that we have. If we don't know that you can't build a house on sand, we build a house on sand. And when the winter, when the storms come and the winds blow, we find out that you can't build a house on sands. It collapses. So much of information and thought and understanding in our world today is built on the deceit of Satan. The Lord knows that. He talked about that. We are told that in the book of Revelation and other places in Scripture. Brings to mind 2 Timothy chapter 3. Like I said, there's in looking up verses that brought this to light, how the Lord knows everything. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul here begins to list, starting with verse 1, I'm not going to read it all, but in verse 1, this important introduction here, he says, "This know also, that in the last days, perilous, dangerous times shall come." Dangerous times. And we can see it in other parts of the world. We can see it in other cultures, under other governments, different things. Dangerous times. But I don't think he's just talking about just dangerous times, but spiritually dangerous times. When we will be tempted, and many around us will be given to the things he lists there, starting with verse 2. Corrupting the word of God, corrupting the fact that God knows everything about everything. And as you glance through those verses, it's as if people will be doing things that they don't realize or don't care that God stands in stark disagreement and they are contrary to the word of God. But just to kind of summarize it in verse 9, Paul writes, "But they shall proceed no farther." That is, men of corrupt minds and reprobate concerning the faith, "they shall proceed no farther." They proceed some in the world. It looks like they're making maybe gaining progress or attaining something, "but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men," or unto all, "as theirs also was, that is Jannes and Jambres." In other words, God is the revealer of falsehood and lies and deceit and corruption and sick, reprobate minds. And he will bring this to light. It'll be manifest unto all men. We are going to hear, I'm sure, over the next week or weeks, lots of conflicting information regarding the military action that was taken in Venezuela. But we have not been hearing, you hear all these people crying for, this is colonialism, that this is illegal activity, it's unconstitutional activity, that it's all these things that he should be set free, just all sorts of negative things about what has taken place. But why have why has it not been reported, as the Lord knows, how that the country of Venezuela was one of the richest countries in South America and has been, and it's been all but destroyed in the tenure, in the years of the last two presidents. 8 million, they're saying that it might be the largest, I'm forgetting the proper term for it, but call it exodus of a people from their own country in history. 8 million people. I think Venezuela has a population of around 30 million, but almost a fourth of the country has fled. They actually referred them to the diaspora, which is a Greek word used in the Bible speaking of the Jews of the diaspora, where they're driven out of Israel. But there are people from one country driven out or have left their country, but they still gather together and still have desires to come back to their country when it's safe to return. But about a fourth of the population of Venezuela has fled the country to save their lives. And read an article where somebody was at the Colombian border, which Colombia is the best country either, but that's how a mother and a child made it to the border to leave Venezuela, and they were starving to death. Are the protesters, are the marchers, are those declaring these how the benefits of communism and the benefits of socialism, are they going to be marching in support of that, showing pictures of starving people, people standing in lines today, hoping to receive a handful of something to eat to get by? No, but God knows everything. And the truth of what's taking place in this world and throughout history, the full depth of it is not recorded by history. And we are continually exposed to, in a spiritual sense, we are continually exposed to falsehoods and amplified corrupt versions of reality. I was contemplating or thinking about a conversation that was had. I'll just leave it that way. Where this young woman was talking about, on the one hand, understanding the practice of abortion, but was expressing these concerns. Well, if they outlaw, what about these others where there's these certain medical procedures and certain serious problems that won't be able to be addressed if there's a ban and it's totally outlawed. And the emphasis was more on these percentage-wise, such a small fractional percent of situations, and ignoring the fact that in China, in the last, well, for several years, if you all remember, they were practicing a limitation on births. They were getting overpopulated. They couldn't feed people. And so families were limited to one child, so there were forced abortions. And there was somewhere, I want to say the number was 5 million abortions a year in China. And now they're going to tax birth control because they're seeing their birth rate is crashing. The world population has probably reached its peak and is declining. And much of that is because of false information. The deception of Satan, the deception of evil, strikes every aspect of our lives. How many of your dollars, of your tax dollars, of your money have gone out of this country to support, as they're finding out, rogue countries and rogue nations and terrorist organizations through deceit and fraud? The Lord knows all of this. And it's good if we get educated about those things, but we look to the Lord because He knows all of this. He knows what a vile, disgusting world that Satan has made out of it through the deceit that he has dished out to mankind. Again and again and again, the scripture warns of those in power should not forget where their power comes from, where their wealth comes from, and how to properly utilize the blessings they've received. Jesus spoke of the rich man, the man that had a very bountiful harvest, and so much he had to tear down barns and build new barns in which to store this crop. The Lord blessed him with this crop, and he didn't give honor to God. He tore down old barns that were too small, built new barns, and he said, "There, I am set for life. I am in great shape. I don't have any more worries. It's all about me." And the Lord told him, said that night, "This night shall thy soul be required of thee." People around you are hungry and starving, and you are hoarding what I have blessed you with. The Lord knows every detail, every grain of seed. He knows everything. But in this, and it's really hard to get away from the let's turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. There's obviously a very happy side to this, is the Lord knows our needs. But it's hard to get away from the dark side of it and the judgment, I'd say especially in the light of just the events of this past week. But in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 5, and again, these are very familiar verses, and no, I won't read through all of them. John 1, 5, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. This word comprehended has a variety of meanings, but basically the primary definition just means that the darkness did not take it eagerly. The darkness did not receive it as good news, as light. There's the darkness, and the darkness said, "No, I'll stay with the darkness. I don't want to see. I don't want to, what's actually going on here. I don't want to see it. I don't want to deal with it." The darkness sees. The word also means the word sees. Perceived. The darkness could not comprehend the light. And if you think about that, what if all we had ever known was darkness and lack of understanding? And then when the truth is revealed, we go, "No, I'm not comfortable. I don't know what to do with that. I don't know how to handle that. I'm not sure I like that. If I have a choice here, I'm going to stay with the darkness. I like that explanation better. I like that point of view better." And which is exactly what the world did when Jesus, the light, came into the world. And the world looked and listened to the answers and the evidence that the light brought into the world. And they say, "You know, I would rather have Barabbas released than Jesus. I will choose darkness over truth." And our country has been run by a lot of leaders, not all, but a lot of representatives that have said, "You know, if I come out here and really speak the light and the truth, I don't make any friends. And it's not a comfortable life. And what the people don't know won't hurt them." Well, surprise, it does. When we reject the light and we promote darkness, it hurts everybody. The darkness apprehended it not. That our darkness would not lay hold of it, would not take possession of this light, is what that word comprehended can mean. The light shines in darkness. And all around us, all around the world, there are those that are making and taking a stand against truth and against the light of God in Christ. In John 3, just 19 through 21, these last three verses, or these three verses, I think we touched on this maybe last week. But in John 3:19, we read, "And this is the condemnation." You know, Jesus is speaking and said, "You know, God sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that through in the world might be saved." And he's talking about those that believe and believe not. But verse 9 says, "And this is the condemnation, This is the, this word condemnation means this is the tribunal. This is the justice. This is the accusation, the conviction, and the pronounced judgment. This is the end. This is the process. This was what's going to happen. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light. Because their deeds were evil. And they liked what they were doing rather than the things that God would have them to do. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Everyone that makes a practice of doing things that are wrong and contrary to God, they hate the truth, they hate the light, because it says you are wrong and you are evil and you are lacking understanding. It says, lest his deeds should be reproved or found out and judged, corrected. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. God knows the hearts and minds and the souls. He knows those things that are not physical. Those things that others, you can't see into someone else's heart, but God can. I had a discussion with a family this past week who had a loved one who was dying and had dementia, and to the point of not knowing anybody really or anything. And what a sad thing it is. But I said, I know that's a sad thing, but it's, when our hearts fail, our other organs fail, cancers grow, it's hard for us to grasp. But to me, it stands out as a stark, it's just amazing. The fact that we can have memory and thought and learn and have a personality and sift through facts and figures and things and give consideration and reach a decision and make a life-changing decision in one way or another. And all of that takes place in an organ, a physical organ, that is like 80% fat. That's where our memories, that's where our personalities are formed, and how dementia and things like that can change a personality because the fat gets infected and the fat gets diseased. The family was a little concerned because the patient had been dreaming a lot and living in a world generated by a mind. I was telling Mary, I said last night I had a pretty sound sleep, but I had some pretty crazy dreams that I could tell her about those dreams I was having and some of the things going on, and they never happened except up here in that ball of fat in my head. But the miracle that we are, and God knows all those thoughts up here that go on in this brain of fat. How much more does he know our hearts and our souls? Because our brains will fail if the Lord tarries. And what goes on in the brain where a person decides they will embrace evil over light or good, the rationale that takes place, we find that our brains are subject to deceit. And will embrace lies and are often very self-serving. But I think where are we at here? So as much as there is, I think an important point I want to make is, because Jesus makes it here. One thing that we live, we've been told again and again and again, and it's promoted all over the place, is that there is no such thing as evil. There is no such thing as good. Those are all subjective opinions, and that's just your opinion, and it isn't any proof to it. There's no more value to it than my opinions. And I'm of the opinion that aborting a child is okay. And though you're an opinion that it's not okay, that's just your opinion. It brings it all down to an equal thing. But no, Jesus points out that there is evil and there is good. And our country and we as Christians have been subjected to, and are being subjected to, a great deal of evil in this country by shading the light, by hiding the light, giving information like AI, false information, erroneous information, meaningless information that directs our lives in one way or another. That's why it is so very, very, very important that we receive our intelligence and our information from God. Not through me, not through others, though that may enhance it or help it or may not, but that we are in communication with God through the Holy Spirit and through His Word, and that we accept His Word as truth and His Word as light. Because if we try to dim it, we try to shade it, as we try to make it more compatible with what I want to believe, we start off down a road of being deceived that will lead us to a great loss in life. I'm going to close with this in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 12, for the word of God is quick or alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even unto the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Lord discerns, He understands the thoughts and the intent of our hearts. It says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest or plainly seen in His sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. If we discover in our hearts and in our minds, as we begin to think about these things and pray about these things and see the damage that comes from lies and deceit and darkness and evil, if we, like David, say, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Whatever it takes, I want to walk in the light. As if we would adopt that as our preeminent desire, more than life, truth. then we realize that we can walk before the Lord in the light without fear, without shame, without doubt. And we stand as a beacon of light ourselves against the darkness and the evil that is in this world. That's what we are called. That's what the Christian is called to do, is to walk in the light even as we are the children of light. But that's a decision that we make. That's a decision, a desire that we act upon. Somebody said there's a big difference between motivation and discipline. You might be motivated in this new year to whatever if you made a resolution to accomplish a certain thing, you might be motivated to do that. But motivation does not replace the discipline of learning how to make yourself do it day after day after day after day. Thank God that He has given us the light that we might be free. With that, as you come and take communion, may your hearts be honest and open before the Lord. Make that your resolution, to be honest and open with the Lord. This is a big year. It's off to a big start, and we'll have to see what comes of it. May God bless you.